We're up to Lamed, Pasuk Tes Zayin. V'lokachta, you will take as kesef hakipurim, the kesef of the kipurim, me'eis b'nei Yisrael, v'nasata oisa, you'll bring it, al avadas el mo'ed, v'hayol l'vnei Yisrael, l'zikra l'vnei Hashem, l'chaper al nafsha seichem. So you'll take the money that they donate to the base, to the Mishkan, and you will, v'nasata oisa, you will designate it for the service. In other words, you will designate this money for the purchase of korbanos, and it will be a zikaron, and it will be for them a remembrance before Hashem as an atonement for their neshamas. In other words, for the korbanos. Let's see the Rashi pasik tes zayin. Okay, here we go. V'nasata oisoy al avodas oyel moed. Okay, you will designated for the service of the oil moed lamadita. From here we learn shenitztavu limnoisa mitchilas nidvas amishkan achar maisa egel mimnei shenichnas bohem magefa. So here we look over here that this is going to be an atonement. The fact that the pasuk says that this is an atonement for the Jewish people. The fact that we learn that this is an atonement mean they need an atonement. Why? From here we learn that the counting was done after the Egel. The Egel was a very great kitroik on Klal Yisrael. And the aftermath of the Egel was 3,000 people died. So what happened after they died? Hashem now wants to count them to know the remainder who survived. Mibnei, shenichnas b'chem ha-geifa, duza ma-geifa, Rashi says, duza ma-geifa, kemo shenemar v'yigoyf Hashem eso'om. This week's parsha, obviously, Hashem went and he brought upon them a magefa. Moshe letzoyin hachaviva al beoleha, shenofal bo dever. This episode is comparable to a situation where there was a balabais owns sheep, and the sheep suffered from a dever. Umishiposak, and when the magefa is over, Omar loy leroyeh. The Baal Habayis says to his shepherd, "Bibakosho mimcha, I make a request from you. Minei es soini v'da kama nois shribohem. Count my sheep and know how many sheep are left over. Lohidia shichaviv olav. Why does the Baal Habayis want to know the number of sheep that are left over? Because this is he wants. It's precious. This is his commodity. This is his assets. So after the magefa is over, and he wants to know the surviving number of sheep. Now, the Ev Shalai Ma, so therefore, what is this telling us? That this counting took place. This counting took place immediately after the Chet Ho'egel. The Ev Shalai Ma, Shehaminyan Hazehu Ha'omer B'chumash Shabakudim. You cannot say that the counting that's mentioned over here took place in Parshas Bamidbar. In Chumash Bamidbar, Shaharei Nema Boy Be'echad L'Chodesh Hasheni, V'Yamishkan Chukam Be'echad L'Chodesh Harishon. Cannot possibly, because that counting that took place in Bamidbar, it says, took place on the first day of the second month. And the Mishkan was erected on the first day of the first month. It was 1 month apart. Shnema B'yom HaChodesh Harishon Be'echad L'Chodesh Chukam Mishkan. U'me'haminin hazeh nasu ho'adonim. From this counting, they used to purchase the Adonim, Mishkolim Shaloi, Shnevahima Askikar Kesef Lotzekes. It was the 100 talents of silver that were used to make the Adonim, Holomadata Sheshtaim Hayu. From that we derive there were two countings, Achas Petchilas Nidvasan, Achayim Akipurim, Meshona Rishona, the Achas Meshona Shni, and the second year Be'ir, Mishahukam Mishkan. Now, so let's just review very quickly the principle over here. He's telling us over here, he's teaching us a very important principle, that there were two countings. There was a counting of Klal Yisrael that took place immediately after the aftermath of the Chet Ha'egel. Let's review the calendar. Klal Yisrael, they came out of Mitzrayim. Pesach took place on the 15th day of Nisan. That was the year one, basically, the first Nisan. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. 15 days later, they left Mitzrayim. 50 days after leaving Mitzrayim, Hashem gave them the Torah on Har Sinai. And then that went on for 120 days. From the time of Matan Torah, because of the Chet Ha'egel, Moshe went to Shemayim 40, 40 and 40. After Matan Torah, he went up to Shemayim and he came down on Shivas B'Tamuz. He shared the Luchos. He went back up for another 40 days and then another 40 days. And he came down after a grand total of 120 days of the Luchos Shnios on Yom Kippur. So therefore, that Yom Kippur is basically is less than a year from Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're starting with Chodesh Nisan. Nisan is the first month. The entire story of the Egel came to an end with the Luchos Shnios on the 10th day of the 7th month. So there was some the time of when Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, until Moshe, until the first Yom Kippur, was exactly 7 months and 10 days. Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the calendar. 15 days later, they left Mitzrayim. 50 days later, they received the Torah. And then 120 days from that was Yom Kippur, when Moshe came down with the Luchos Shnios. The day that Moshe came down with the Luchos Shnios is when he told them, Hashem wants you to build a Mishkan. And building the Mishkan will be an atonement, will be a part of the process of achieving atonement for the chait of the Egel. At the time when Moshe told them to build the Mishkan, he took accounting, a census. And the money that came from that census was used, there were three different collections, but the money that was used for that census was used to build the Adonim, for the Adonim. So this took place in the first year and the 7th month. The problem is that a couple of months later, we go from 7 to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, about 5 months later, or 6 months later, or really, I should say, it's more, because we're going from the 7th month to the next year, and 2 months in, so let's say it's even 9 months later approximately, the Torah says explicitly it was in the 2nd year, in the 2nd month, that Hashem told Moshe to count Klal Yisrael. That's what it says in Bamidbar. The Midbar says, Be'echel l'chodesh hasheni. It was the first day of the 2nd month in the 2nd year. So that means, Rashi says, it has to be, there were two separate countings. There was a counting in the 1st year, the 7th month, and basically the 7th month of the 1st year, and there was a second counting in the 2nd month of the 2nd year. There's no other way to make sense. Now you'll say to me, but it does not say anywhere explicitly the date of the first counting. It doesn't say the date. It does say the date for the 2nd counting. So maybe there was no 1st counting. Maybe there was only what we're calling the 2nd counting, which took place in the 2nd month of the 2nd year. And that's it. And when it says here in Parashas Kisisa, Kisisa, Sroish b'nei Yisrael lefkudehem v'nasna ish, Kofer Nafshei, all of the things that are being mentioned over here in this Parsha is referring to what's going to happen later in, it's going to happen later in the 2nd month of the 2nd year. Rashi says that is impossible, because in the 2nd month of the 2nd year, the Mishkan was already fully functional. The Mishkan was already in operation for more than 1 month. And the Mishkan was really complete way back, and Chodesh Kislev was complete very quickly, not that much after they began to build it, not that much after Yom Kippur. They finished on Chanukah, Chazal tells. They finished on Chanukah on the 25th day of Kislev. The Mishkan was complete. They started building the Mishkan on Sukkot, on the 15th day of Tishrei, and they finished it on the 25th day of Kislev. So it was already complete. And in part of the Mishkan were the Adonim. And how do they collect the silver to make the Adonim? From the Machzis HaShekel. So it turns out, there is no way you can possibly say that the counting that we are referring to over here in Parashas Kisisa took place in the 2nd month of the 2nd year. But it says there was another counting in the 2nd month of the 2nd year. So Rashi says, Ein Achanami, what's the problem? That was a separate counting. There were two separate countings. an early counting and a later counting. Now, what was the purpose of this counting? Why did Hashem need to know their number? Maybe in the what's the purpose of this? But you're right, there is no need to know the number. The only reason why Hashem wanted was to show his chavivos for Klal Yisrael. And that is a very critical yisoy to appreciate about this parasha. Kisisa is a parasha which begins with Hashem showing his love for the Jewish people. Something that you love, you count. If you have money, you count it. People count money. Mishnah Berurah says you should say every word of Psukim the Zimra slowly, the same way you count money. The same way a person has money, they count $1 at a time. You want to know exactly every penny how you have. It's a sign of love. This parasha that begins with Kisisa, when you will collect the number of Klal Yisrael, is an expression of Hashem's chavivus, his love for Klal Yisrael. And Rashi basically challenges himself. Who says I'm right? Maybe the counting that we are referring to is what's taking place in the second month of the second year. And that counting was not out of love. That counting was out of a need to know, I'm assuming for the tzva, to know how to divide the land. It was needed to know to how many people should go to war. That counting was a counting of need. It was not a counting of love. So who says I'm right in saying the counting of here is a counting of love? And the answer is because this counting could not possibly have been in the second year, because they needed it says that the money they collected from this counting was used to make the Adonim. And the Adonim in the second counting was long after the Mishkan was built and was functional. So it cannot possibly, that means there had to be an earlier counting. Okay, so there's an earlier counting, but what's the purpose then of the earlier counting? We don't need to know the number of people to go out l'molchama. We don't need to know how to divide the land. That didn't happen yet. The answer is, you're right, it's nothing more than an expression of chavivos. And that's a very powerful thing. This Rashi is saying something very powerful. Now, Rashi, there's a very big problem with this Rashi, and Rashi is now going to acknowledge the problem, because it says the number, when we make the calculation for the amount of silver, it basically comes out that the number of people that were listed, were counted in Bamidbar, in the second month of the second year, was exactly the same number of people that were counted here on Sukkot time in the first year. The difference between these two calculations is approximately 9 months. Okay, you have 7 to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 7 months. Okay, 7 months. The gap between these two countings was 7 months. If it was a gap of 7 months, then there should be the number of the second counting should be much larger, because people were born. Well, here the counting was from the age of 20 years and above. Has to be there were people that were 19 years old in the first counting and now became 20 years old in the second counting. After we discount the people who died, the 3,000 people who died in the Magefa, I'm sorry, that already happened. That already happened before. So they already died. So you say that the counting was 7 months apart. How could the number be exactly the same? That's impossible. So let's see. That is the difficult part of Rashi. If Rashi is going to be correct and tell us that indeed there are two separate countings, and the purpose of this counting was nothing more than to show Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, how then can it be that the number of people that were counted in the first census was identical to the number of people counted in the second census? It has to be there were people that got older between the first census and the second census, and the second one should be more in number. That's the next part. Rashi, Taimar. Okay, I hope you can see it over here. Taimar. If you're going to ask the question, can it possibly be Shabbosneim Hayu Yisrael Shavim? Can it possibly be that they're exactly the same? They're equal. 603,550. That's the magic number. 603,550. That's the number. Shaharei, how do we know that? Shaharei, bekesef pekudei ho'edo nemar. It's nemar kein. It says this number in Bamidbar in the second counting. In the kesef pekudei, in Parshas, when they made the calculation of the kesef, of the counting of the people, in Parshas Pekudei, the number is 603550. Uvechumash Pekudim, afbo nemar kein. It says exactly the same number. There we have the pasuk. When you call Hapakudim, Sheish Meos Elef, Ushlesh Alaf, and Vachamesh Meos Vachamishim, 603550. Impossible. The Haloi Bishtei Shadim Hoyu. If I am correct, Rashi says, that there are two separate countings, and they were 7 months apart, and the first counting was out of love, and the second counting was out of necessity, how then can it be that in the end of Pekudei and in Bamidbar, the number is exactly the same? That is impossible. The EF Shar, Shalom Hayu B'Shas Minyan HaRishayin, cannot be, they were not during the first Minyan, B'nei Yutes Shar, the people that were 19 years old, Shalom Nimri, they were not yet counted, because we're only making a counting for people that are 20 and above. Uvishniya Nasu B'nei Chav, and in the second counting, they now became 20. So even if you'll tell them that people died, but the growth, population growth, is always more than the number of people who die. So how then can it possibly be? So he says something over here that's very interesting. Teshuva l'dava. I'm going to give you my answer. Eitzel shnois ha'noshim b'shona achas nimnu. The years, during the years of the people, it was 1 year. What do we mean nimnu? Avol, but it's the same year. And what do we mean the same year? L'minyan yitzias mitzrayim hayu shdei shanim. So it's about, let me first say it outside. Basically, when we count people by their age, we count them from Tishrei. Tishrei is when we count them. So they're born in Tishrei is when it is when a person becomes the next digit. In other words, when we count people, when you ask a person how old are you, so they'll tell you exactly their birth. They'll tell you, but if you want to go find out how old a person is, they're going to look at your birth date. And if you are before that date, you are a number less than your age when you reach that calendar day. Guess what? That's not the way you define a person's birthday. A person's birthday in this calculation is defined from Rosh Hashanah. B'Rosh Hashanah Yikoseven V'Yom Tzom Kippur Yikoseman. In other words, a person who's born the day after, let's say the day after Rosh Hashanah, he's now 1 year old. He's in his first year. When it comes next year, Rosh Hashanah, he's now 2 years old, meaning he's now in his second year. What do you mean? If I was born, let's say, for example, you were born in Chodesh Elul, and now it's Rosh Hashanah, how old are you? You're now in your second year. Can't be. I'm only 1 month old. I'm only 1 month old. I'm not even 1 year old. In our vernacular, a person who's 30 days old, you say he's a month. The baby is 1 month old. And in Halacha, you know how old he is? He's 2 years old. Do you believe that? You go from being 1 month to being 2 years old. How do you go from being from 1 month to being two years old? Because when you're born, you are immediately called 1 year old. You are in the first year of your life. And there is a standard, the calendar, as to when the year ends. And the year ends with Aleph Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. So when you get to Rosh Hashanah, how old are you now? You are now in your second year. When will you be 3 years old? The following Tishrei, 12 months later. So what does it come out? When did the first counting take place? It took place in Chodesh Tishrei. Approximately either Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur, or on right at that time, the day after Yom Kippur, the 11th day of Tishrei. When did the second counting take place? It took place in Chodesh Iyar. How many months is there between Chodesh Tishrei and Chodesh Iyar? 7 months. Is that correct? Tishrei to Cheshvan, to Kislev, to Teves, to Shvat, to Adar, to Nisan, to Iyar. 7 months. Anyone that is 20 years old on the 15th day, the 15th day of Tishrei, is 20 years old, and according to this calculation, on the 20th day of, on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's the same year. Nothing has changed. Now, you'll ask a question, what do you mean? No one died? Maybe somebody died. You're counting people from the year 20 years up, from 20 years and above. Anyone that was 20 when Rosh, according to Halacha, when Rosh Chodesh Iyar began, was 20 years, what was counted. But what happens if somebody died between Aleph Tishrei and Rosh Chodesh Iyar? Guess what? No one died. A miracle. That's exactly what comes out according to Rashi. Nobody died between the day after Yom Kippur until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, because it was exactly the same number. Now, why then do we refer to it being in the second year, the second counting? Because that calculation is based upon Nisan. So this calculation was based upon the first Nisan. And what happened from Nisan, what happened from the first Nisan until the second Nisan. And that wasn't called the second year because that was already past the second Nisan. Okay, so this is an incredible Yesod HaRashi. We learn a lot of things in this Rashi. Number one, we learned that when they took a census to determine how old you are, if you're 20 years old, you're counted. The way we calculate your age of being 20 years old, it goes from Tishrei. When Tishrei begins, Aleph Tishrei, how old are you? If you are now in the 20th year of your life or above, which really means you're 19 years old, and even if you're not even 19 years old, even if you were born even less than 19 years ago, if you were born at the, let's say even less than, even one day before Rosh Hashanah, that means you would be the first day, the last day of the year would be considered your first year, and the day of Rosh Hashanah, you're now in your second year. And that's when your age changes according to the census. Thus, then when you go from Tishrei all the way until Iyar, you're still in the first year. So let's see Rashi. Rashi over here says, "L'minyan yitzias mitzrayim hoyu shtei." When it comes for l'minyan yitzias mitzrayim hoyu shtei shanim, l'fish shel yitzias mitzrayim moyne minisan. When it comes to calculate from yitzias mitzrayim, we count from nisan k'moyne shoshaninu b'masechta Rosh Hashanah. V'nivna hamishkan b'rishayna. The Mishkan was built b'rishayna in the first year. V'hukam b'shniya. The year was renewed on the first day of Nisan. Aval, but the years of man, minuyin leminyan shnayis oylam hamaschilim mitishrei. Nimsu comes out the shnei haminyanim b'shana achas. We're in the same year. Haminyan arish nochaya mitishrei li achayim hakipurim. Shem nisratzo hamokam li yisrael l'slach l'chem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he forgave the Jewish people, but it still comes out a miracle that nobody died. Okay, then the Rashi concludes, which we use, the oil moed is where they got the adonim. Okay, so we learned there'll be a very powerful Rashi. Okay, so let's review outside very, very quickly. What did Rashi tell us over here about this pasuk? The pasuk over here says, the lakachta. It says here in this pasuk that you, Moshe, shall take eskesef hakipurim, you shall take the money. There over here is a counting. This pasuk over here indicates that there was a second counting taking place, and Moshe over here is taking the money. You will take the kesef hakipurim, me'es b'nei Yisrael v'nasato, so you will designate it al avodas oil moed. Rashi learns, What does it mean, al avidas ol moed? The designation will go for the Adonim. The Hayil Rachel is the Kardal of Nehashem, the Chapel Nafshav Sechem, this will be a Zikard for them to atone for their Neshamais. I guess it means that when due to the counting, you bring upon yourself an Ayin Hara, as Raji said before, and that can bring a Magefa, and by giving the Machs a Shekel, you use an atonement, and the money was going to go to build the Adonim. And Raji says, this Velokachta, do not make any mistake, is not the same Velokachta that is mentioned in Parshas Bamidbar, there was another census made. That census, we know why it was done. It was done in order to know how many people should go out into the war, to divide Klal Yisrael into soldiers and for land. There was a purpose to that counting. But what is the purpose of this counting? So Rashi goes on to say there was no purpose other than to show Klal Yisrael his love for the Jewish people. A mashal to a balabayis who has a shepherd that takes care of his flock, and there's a dever, and many of the animals of his flock die. And when the dever is over, the balabai says to the shepherd, do me a favor, please count the survivors. I want to know how many are left. It's an act of love to show that you care about your survivors. And that's exactly what the purpose of this counting was. Rashi then challenges himself. Who says I'm right? Who says that the counting over here is a separate counting than the counting that took place in Bamidbar when the number is exactly the same? Because in Parashas Pekudei, the Torah makes a calculation of how much money came in, and the calculation of how much money came in indicates that they were exactly 603,550 people that were counted. And in Bamidbar, which was 7 months later, the counting is there also exactly the same, 603,550. How could it possibly be? Weren't the people that became that were until now 19 and now became 20 over the last 7 months, and that should make the calculation go up to a higher number? So Rashi tells us an incredible chiddush, which involves miracles. And he says that the way that you calculate people when it comes to the census of Miben Eshem Shem Zamala is not based upon your personal birthday, but it's based upon Aleph Tishrei. When a person is born, he's immediately 1 year old. When you're born, you are immediately in your first year. When Aleph Tishrei comes around, you're now in your second year. If a baby is born 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, and now it's Aleph Rosh Hashanah, the baby in Halacha is 2 years old. He's in his second year. When he was born, he was in his first year. And he only had 30 days of that first year because the year changes when it comes, his years change when it comes to Aleph Tishrei. And now Aleph Tishrei is now in his second year. Now go fast forward when he's now got to the number 20. So when will he become 21? He'll become 21 next Tishrei. When was the first census? It was 15 days into Tishrei on Sukkot. When was the second census? That took place in Chodesh Iyar. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, that is 7 months later. 7 months and 10 days later. So it comes out that they're both within the same year. It was between Tishrei and Tishrei. Therefore, exactly, no, nothing changed. This that it says in the Pasuk that the second counting was in the second year, onward in the second month, that's because that calculation, that number, is based upon the number of the way we calculate time from Yitzias Mitzrayim. And we calculate time from Yitzias Mitzrayim, we do not follow Tishrei, we follow Nisan, the second month of the second year. So now, what comes out? What comes out is, there's no contradiction, but it does still emerge. According to Rashi, there was a miracle in regard to the fact that nobody died after Yom Kippur for 7 months. Not even one single person in Klal Yisrael died during those 7 months. And that is an incredible miracle. Cannot deny that's an incredible miracle. Okay, so this concludes the Rashi, beautiful Rashi, a lot of principles. And the Targum was the Targum very quickly. Targum says, "V'sisav yoskesav kipuraya b'nei Yisrael." The pasuk says, "You shall take the money of atonement from b'nei Yisrael, the sitin yosei, and you shall deliver it al pulchan mashkan zimna." The work, pulchan means the service, mashkan zimna, the ohel moed, v'hei l'bnei Yisrael l'duch rona, a remembrance, kodem Hashem, before Hashem, l'chapara al nafshos choyim. Now, is there any commentary over here on Tezvav? There is no commentary, but something bothers me very much, and I would venture to suggest that there is a dispute between Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi says, when it says over here, al avodas ohel moed, what did Rashi say? The Adonim. Rashi began by telling us, now, in other words, we're going to make over here, we can potentially make over here a major machlokes. I mean, basically, if I would be bold, you could suggest that this entire Rashi, this ganze pshetel that Rashi made over here, from Tez Zayin, look at all these words. It's a lot of stuff here. Ton of stuff. It's a long Rashi that we zip through all the way until Pasuk Yitches. It's a long Rashi. The Targum, I would venture to say, totally disagrees with every single word that Rashi said. Not only that, he even disagrees with the previous Rashi, the previous page. Why would I want to say that he disagrees with every single word? Because Rashi says here at the very end, a key phrase, al avoidas ohel moed. What are you going to do with all the money? Give the money for the adonim, the sakets, shena'asu bo, which they made with the kesef. Targum doesn't seem to say that. Targum says, what do you do with the money? Take the money, velo kachta, as kesef akipurim yetz bnei Yisrael v'nasata oisoy. What do you do with the money? You will give it. Al avoidas oihol moed. What does Targum say? Avoidas. Al pulchan nishkan zin. What does pulchan mean? Work. Service. It would seem that maybe the money is going for the korbanos. It was going for the purchase. The pulchan means the service, the avoda. What's the avoda? The korbanos. The money is going for korbanos. The money is not going for the adonim. Now, if that is correct, were there really two countings? Now, I don't know all the details. We have to go to Parshas Pekudei and analyze things more carefully. But Rashi acknowledges that he's saying some major, major chidushim. Rashi is acknowledging that he's explaining, because of his difficulty in understanding what is taking place, there were two separate countings. Two separate countings. A counting that took place, a census that took place after the Chet HaEgel, right after Yom Kippur. And there was another counting that took place 7 months later, in the first day of the second month of the second year. Two separate countings. And Rashi then has to come and explain, well, why do you need there to be two separate countings? The second counting was probably for a good reason, there are reasons. But why the first counting? Rashi is machadesh, love, to show his chiba. And then Rashi says, but how could it possibly be that the number, the census, was exactly the same? So Rashi comes to the rescue. Well, when it comes to your birthday, when it says that if you're 20 years, you know how you calculate your birthday? It's not like they do today, where when you're 30 days old, you're called a month old, and when you're 12 months, you're called 1 year. Everything depends on the way you calculate your age, all depends upon Tishrei, which basically pushes everyone up by 1 year relative to what we call it, what year. Anyone today, whatever year you are, however old you are, according to halacha, instantly you're a year older. And in addition to that, you may be even another year older, being that you're passing through, it all depends on Tishrei. Once you pass over Tishrei. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush of Rashi. And Rashi needs all this to answer, because Rashi says, what's bothering Rashi is, how did they make the Adonim out of the money, how could there be a second census to collect money when the Mishkan was already built and was already functional? If we have a tradition that the money that was collected was used for the Adonim, maybe the Targum disagrees with all of this. And he holds there was only one census in Parshas Pekudei. And that's why you avoid all of Rashi's difficulties. You don't have to say there's a miracle that no one died during that year. You don't have to say that a person's birthday is determined from Tishrei, which is tremendous chiddush. A person's birthday changed with Tishrei. We never heard that before. But the Targum is going to have a problem. How do we deal with the psukim in Parshas Pekudei, where it makes a calculation of how much silver was used to purchase the Adonim? It seems to indicate there was another census that was made there. So that needs to be studied. I'm probably certain we can figure out a solution, and that would explain everything. After we know, again, our whole Yisraeli learning has become so clear. It's like so amazing. I've been in the dark all these years. I always thought Rashi was an independent commentary. No one ever said anything about Targum. This Targum, good for the Targum. And Rashi says his parish. It's so clear that everything Rashi says is all a response to the Targum. Targum said one little word. Pulchan. Pulchan. The money that you're collecting, velokachtos kesef hakipurim, for what? Al avodas. What is that? To buy korbanos. Doesn't say the money is going to go to craft adonim. How then do they get money for the adonim? I don't know. They got money for the adonim another way. They figured it out. They got money for the how to make the adonim. Whatever. They got donations. They got money for the adonim. Whoever says that the money they collected from the census went for the Adonim. The Targum says it went to buy korbanos. Doesn't say it went for the Adonim. Ooh, once you say that it did not go for the Adonim, there's no emergency that there should be a census. The census took place in the second year. There's only one census. Rashi only had this big problem because if the money that he collected from the census went for the Adonim, well, the Adonim Mishkan needs to first be built before we come to Chodesh Sheni. So it has to be there were two different countings. Targum doesn't say. Rashi says this is the key. You'll donate the money when you collect the money. Where will the money go? V'nosata oisoi. Al avoidas oihel moyet. The money will go for what? It will go for, Rashi says, the adonim. Targum says for the pulchan. Pulchan means the service, the work, which can mean simply the korbanos. And that little difference, what the Targum said, Rashi says, I disagree. And because I disagree, Rashi has to invent all of these chidushim over here to make sense of how he can preserve avodas oil moed means hein ho adonim shenasubo, not the pulchan. Okay, so we learned, we did today learn, Baruch Hashem, we learned of your Targum today. Okay, we have 1 minute. By Davar Shalom, by Shalema, let's learn the Mashu. By Yisisa Kiyar Nechayishes, you should make a Kiyar. Wash the hands of copper. The Chanoi Nechayishes, a base. The Kiyar has a base. Lerochtsa. Venasato Isai, you shall position it bein Ohel Moed, bein HaMizbech, venasato Shama Moim. You shall put there water. Rashi, Pasuk Yitches. Rashi, let's just see very quickly, what does Rashi over here say? You shall make a kiyar, it's a long rash, a kiyar, kimindud gedoylo, it's a big pot, and it has spouts. Velo dodayim, spouts. Hamerikim b'fi amayim, water flows. V'chano kitargumay b'sisa. Whenever Rashi is coming to compliment the Targum, you know you're in trouble. You know you're in a lot of trouble if the Rashi's Kitargumo, the Targum was right. Bisisaya, Bisisa. Moishav Misukun Likiar, a base. Lirachza, Musa Likiar, what are you gonna, you're gonna use the kiar to wash, you're gonna put it between the Mizbeach. Mizbeach Oila, Shakasabo, Shakulafna, Pesach Mishon Alvoid. Foya Kia Moshach Kimel, we are going to take an Avish, Ben Mizbeach, Ben Mishkan, Ben Mavsik Klau, Ben Tayim. In other words, the Mizbeach was right in front of the opening to the Heichal. And the Kiar was in between where the Mizbeach was and the Heichal, but not in between Mamish. It was in that vicinity, in the vicinity between the Mizbeach and the Mishkan, but not mamash in between the Mizbeach and the Mishkan, because you're not allowed to. That space has to be open. Quickly, unless you bring out a chiddush in the Targum, it says, "Umalel Hashem Moishel Meimar Vesaved Kiyora Din Choshov of Copper." Uvisisa dinachasha, base of copper, likidush. And what's that? Likidush, visitan, you say you shall position it, bein mishkan, zimna, ubein madbucha, visitan mon maya. The key word over here is likidush. What is it over here in the word in the pasuk? Vinasat lirochtsa. This is unbelievable what it says over here. This is gewaldige stuff. You shall make the kiar and the base for what purpose? Lirochtza, to wash. What did Rashi again say? How did Rashi say the word lirochtza? Lirochtza, musaf al hakiar. The word lirochtza is going back on the kiar. That the kiar's purpose is lirochtza, to wash. Okay, the water will come forth to wash. The Targum says something fascinating. He says the purpose of the word lirochtza doesn't mean to wash your hands from germs, bacteria. It's sanctification. This holy water, water of sanctification. Does Rashi agree with this or disagree with this? Rashi made a statement. Everything that Rashi says is, he's coming to Chepa. He compliments Rashi on the base, on the base, the kanoi. It's besisaya. Very good. Why does he say that? You know why he's saying that? Because he disagrees. I believe that Rashi over here, Targum over here, says something very, very profound. And he's saying here, finishing up now, Vesavit kiyoyor dinuchosha uvisisa dinuchosha likidush. If you learn the purpose of the kiyor, this is a very delicate point. But I think there's a lot of yisoidus in this point. If the purpose of the kiyar is to sanctify your hands, what part of the kiyar is providing sanctification? The upper portion, where the tap water, where the water comes out of, or the base? If you learn that the kiyar, the purpose is to wash your hands from dirt, from bacteria, they should be practically clean, then the ikar part of the kiyar is the upper portion. There are two parts to the kiyar. There's the base, and there's the upper portion. Where in the Beis HaMikdash is there sanctity? The sanctity in the Beis HaMikdash is the ground. If the purpose of the kiyar is to provide your hands with sanctity, the primary part of the kiyar is not the upper portion where the water is found. It's the base, the kanoi nechoshes, the kiddush that comes from the ground of the mokim hamikdash. The mokim goes up through the base into the upper portion to the water. But if the purpose of the kiyar is not to provide sanctity, it's just to be practical, to make sure your hands are clean, then who cares about the base? The purpose of the purpose is to wash your hands. And the washing is in the upper portion. So now we have a massive machlokes with Rashi. Everything now makes a lot of sense. The translation of the word kanoi means a base. okay, is a base. You shall make a kiyar nechayes. And now it says the word l'rochtza. The word l'rochtza, is the subject of the word l'rochtza going back on the kiyar, or is the word l'rochtza going back on the word the kanoi? Well, first of all, what is the kanoi? Rashi says, Targum's right. It means a base. But that's it. This is the classic what we've been doing with the Rashi. Whenever Rashi mentions kitargumai, he means to say, Targum, you're right, but you're wrong. If the Targum is 100% right, Rashi will never comment. Silence. Whenever Rashi has to say, and if the Rashi holds the Targum is 100% wrong, he lets you know, Targum is wrong. But whenever Rashi says kitarguma, you know what he means to say? Targum, you're right, but you're wrong. You're right that the translation of the word kana means a base, but you're wrong in regard to what the purpose of this base is for. You learning the purpose of the base is to give sanctity to your hands. When it says the word l'rochtza, the subject of the word l'rochtza is the kanoi. Because the rochtza means the sanctification of your hands. The sanctification comes from the mokoim hamikdash. The mokoim hamikdash is the ground. The base is on the ground. And from the base, it goes up into the upper base and into your hands. So the subject of the rochtza means sanctification. And thus, the rochtza is going back on the word kanoi. Rashi says, I agree with you, the word kanoi means a base. But when it says rochtza, the subject is not the kanoi, it's going back on the kiyar. Because the purpose of washing your hands is not to sanctify your hands, it's to clean your hands from dirt. And therefore, l'rochtza goes on the kiyar, not on the kanoi. Targum again, he says, for what purpose? L'kiddush, sanctification. Rashi says, ra'kiyar, v'kanoi, kitargumo. You're right, you're very good, Targum. You know how to translate words, very nice. It means besise, moishav mesukan lekiyar. But you're wrong. But you're also wrong because when it says l'rochtza, l'rochtza is not going back on the kanoi. L'rochtza is musav ala kiyar. Because the purpose is to wash dirt, not sanctification. If it's sanctification, the sanctification again comes from the mokoim. The mokoim is the ground, which is the base. The base is what brings the sanctification. All right, so let me say two different machlekes of Rashi and Unkelus. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful evening. Shkoyach, shkoyach.